True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
103-97 Orlando in play to Levine. Levine with a pull-up, topside rainbow three off the mark. Rebound magic, ball game over. Wow.
Final score of tonight's game.
103-97 Orlando as they come into Chicago and win twice in a three-game span. And the Bulls fall now to 4-9 and 3-5 at the United Center, and get ready for Jimmy Butler in the Heat.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Isn't that perfect? Chuck Swirsky, you fall to 4-9 to get ready for Jimmy Butler, lose to the Magic, come in here, and then Rick Party goes, it's Saturday Suckage. There we go. That's where we are. That's what we do here. I'm Steve Rosenblum. I suck so you don't have to. We're going to go back to our hotline, our guest hotline presented by Circa Resort. I'm sorry. Our guest hotline is presented by Circa Sports Illinois. And we welcome back to the show Julia Poe of the Tribune. She covers the Bulls, and really nothing going on this week, right, Julia?
Yeah, pretty normal, pretty just like casual laid back week for the Bulls, right?
Wow. So, in whatever order you want, pick a topic and tell us what you think or where it is.
Yeah, I mean, obviously top of mind this week has been all of the news, the rumors, the talk swirling around Zach LaVine. We knew that this was going to be a conversation that was going to come up this season. I think the question always was just, when is this going to start? When are both sides going to start pushing for maybe something to change? And when you get out to now a 4-9 start, I think it's not surprising that you see both sides being like, okay, something's got to go. We've all known it. And now you have to get the ball moving in a different direction.
So Zach wouldn't actually say he wanted to be traded, but he does want to be traded. He wants out. His people want out. I don't know when he thinks a good time to talk about it is. Once it's out, once his people made sure that people knew this was in the bloodstream of the media and whatnot. And he could have helped himself this week on those nights. And his team can't start. He can't start. The Bulls' unpreparedness to start games when they're down, when they have a 33-point first half against the Magic and show they have zero response by posting another 33-point first half. What does that say about this team, the way it's constructed, and this coach?
Yeah, it's strange, right? We talked to DeMar DeRozan after last night's game, and he talked about how in first halves it feels like they're shooting like they're scared to miss in the first halves. And you just can't be a team in the NBA and have that feeling dominate, especially the opening quarter of a game the way that it has been. And I think, you know, the frustration is starting to seep out. We haven't seen anything, you know, like bombastic or anything, but you can tell that there's frustration from Billy Donovan, from the players. basically from the top down, because it's there aren't fixes, there aren't bounce backs that are happening. They're not getting those get back games, even against opponents like the Magic, who could have been a good option for that, especially with Wendell Carter out. And I think that's where you kind of look at this, and it's a little mind-boggling, where this team could and should be better than they are. They might not be big contenders, but where they're sinking to right now is, I think, a little bit mind-boggling, just based on how this season should have started.
Julia Poe is my guest. She covers the Bulls for the Tribune. We're talking Bulls here on The Score. They'll play Miami tonight, 6:45, Chuck's pregame, 7 o'clock tip-off, Bulls and Heat. So the idea that they can't prepare themselves, Dave, game preparation in my world has always been on the players, but getting your team prepared and confident to play is the coach or coaches. They got a new shooting coach, and they seem to suck shooting. I don't know if it's thinking about the shots or thinking about what the shooting coach is telling them, or if they're too much thinking, not enough reacting to the way Billy wants more threes taken by guys who don't normally make threes. It just seems like a lot of thinking, and they can't even think about how to prepare themselves for a game. So is it shooting coach? Is it the head coach? Is it the style? There's so much that seems wrong, and we wait for the return regression to the mean, but it doesn't seem to be coming about.
Right. I definitely wouldn't put it on, you know, one shooting coach coming in. It feels like it is a combination of factors, like you said. And I think at first, in the first few games, it was very easy to buy into the idea of, like, this will shake out, right? These are better shooters than this. And now you look at where they're at. Every single player, except for Alex Caruso, is shooting below what their career averages are. That's kind of, again, it's just one of those mind-boggling things to look at. And I think the note that you had about overthinking is really, you know, kind of on the head. We've heard that phrase of overthinking from so many players, whether it's they felt like the offensive schemes were being overthought and Billy needed to pare them down, whether it was, you know, players like Patrick Williams being like, I got to get out of my head. And that's what DeMar was talking about last night, of those first halves being a lot of them worrying and not just hooping. And I think that is a really, really hard place to be in as a team 13 games into the season. Like, that is, you are predefining how you are going to play by getting that much in your head and not just letting your instincts as a good basketball player take over.
The team that had a team meeting after the first game, after opening night, and even if you don't want to characterize it as a team meeting or they don't want to characterize it as a team meeting, I do understand why Billy said, well, this is actually a good thing. At least they're talking. And I could see that as being a positive thing. And it turns out Billy would be a lot better off if he were in some way were Tibbs, or in some way if he were Mike Keenan, for instance, a guy who used to believe that even negative energy is at least energy. And being that kind of tyrannical coach would at least unite them. Even if it's against the coach, at least unite them. And that doesn't seem to be there, even though they seem to be saying the right things. And the whole Nashville thing, the kumbaya, is, hey, we're going to be closer, we're going to do this. This now seems like a lot of desperate acts by a coach and a general manager and a team president of trying to remain relevant with a group that didn't make the playoffs last year. And now it seems like they're leaking in a lot of different ways. How do you think this turns out?
I mean, I think on the path that we're on right now, if any version of, I mean, they're going to probably get in a little streak where they're able to pick up a win or two here and there. It's not going to continue on a full skid. Obviously, that's just not how NBA seasons go. But with how, again, these first 13 games have gone, I don't see a version of this where we don't go into phase two of the plan as was communicated to us by the players. Like, Zach, DeMar, and Vooch came into this year telling us, if this doesn't work, things are going to start moving. Players are going to start moving. We know that this roster is not going to stay the same by the end of the year if we can't get this thing together. And I don't think it's too early to look at how bad this start has been and be like, the thing's not together. It's just, whatever was supposed to come together is not there. And barring what would feel like just the biggest 180 turnaround, I think we're moving into that phase two of the if-then scenario where this isn't working. You've gotten a decent way into the season now. Not a lot, but enough to look at it and be like, this is just, even when wins are happening, the offense just looks stagnant and there's not a vision and there's not kind of that thrust that is necessary for a team to pick up momentum and like actually put wins together back to back.
Julia Poe is my guest. She covers the Bulls for the Tribune. We're talking Bulls here on The Score. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Thank you for joining me. So the kind of team, either name the teams that Zach could be traded to or the kind of teams he could be traded to for a guy who apparently doesn't, according to some reports, doesn't think they're serious about winning here or capable of winning. And Zach's got a longer career of not winning than he does about winning. So what kind of team takes him, a guy who doesn't hit a lot of game-winning shots in the fourth quarter and now can't get started when games get started? What kind of team or what actual teams take Zach?
Yeah, I think, you know, first, just in terms of what he wants, I think it's clear he wants to be on a contending roster, on a team that he feels like is one. And obviously that Yahoo report came out this week. There's been several reports that of what he believes this team can be. He's also openly saying that to the media. He told us this week that this roster is not, that he does not see this team as being a championship team. And he was very upfront and blunt about that, which is, you know, pragmatic and realistic. And I think that there's a certain level of just wanting to get somewhere where that is more viable, where there's not, I think any player would not want to go in looking like they have to do a whole slow build again. And I think personally, it would be interesting to see Zach on a team where he didn't necessarily have to be the guy in all ways. Something that I've talked to Zach about, and that a lot of the players have talked about, is how that main three of this team, they're all kind of quiet guys and they're really good at doing the type of leadership that requires actions. But I think that for a team to win, you have to have the talker and you have to have the guy that's, you know, that quiet mover. And I think Zach could use having either a number two or being the number two alongside someone who can be that vocal leader, because that's just not, he's always been open that he's going to be him. And that's not necessarily who he is. So going beyond just like fit for, he's a great scorer. He can get to the rim like nobody's business. Like, we know what he can do on the court, but I think getting that match of understanding a leadership fit like that and then having enough other pieces around him where he doesn't feel like he has to do hero ball all the time, that's where you're going to get the best version out of him.
His numbers say he's not going to the hoop as much as, when you talk of driving, he's not driving as much as he used to.
Yeah, well, and he's been struggling finishing at the rim. That's what's so strange about this recent stretch. We saw, you know, he's trying to go up for those hammer dunks and they're going off the rim. I mean, it's just, when you talk about this team being out of sorts, it's everywhere where even, I mean, if DeMar starts missing mid-range shots, you know something like really crazy is going on. That hasn't happened yet, but it does feel like everyone's a little bit out of step, even in their strongest parts of the game.
So this team was constructed by the guy who's now apparently going to be tasked with deconstructing it.
Mm-hmm.
And what we learned from the first go-around with AK is that Lonzo Ball is like LeBron James or Michael Jordan. If you lose him, you have no chance. And that's a pretty amazing thing. But what are we to believe? Why should we trust AK if suddenly the parts you talked about get dealt? Then what are you going to rebuild? What's the rebuild going to look like? And do you trust this guy? Why should Bulls fans trust this guy to rebuild it?
Yeah, I think the biggest area for like trust building, especially with this front office, in my opinion at least, would be figuring out what the MO of this franchise is going to be with young player development. Like, I think that is the area where we've seen the most frustration from fans, you know, whether it's Patrick Williams, whether it's just the actual thought process behind draft picks, you know, seeing Daylon Terry and Julian Phillips just not get into games. And even someone like Kobe, who is an inherited, you know, younger player, it took several years of commitment to get him to where he's at right now. And he's still being asked to play out of position from what he was originally, you know, brought in to do. So I think that for me if you're looking at rebuilding and kind of trying to create a new era, how you treat and develop and nurture those young players, that's how you build like a future that's actually sustainable. And that would be my biggest area of both concern and just, if you're looking at this front office, just growth, is figuring out how to do that with your young players and do be a little bit more tactical and a little bit more just, you know, have more of a visible plan of who you're picking, why you're picking them, and where that's supposed to go from there.
That sounds like a Billy Donovan problem. Where does Billy Donovan, how much blame does he get in the lack of development?
Well, I think, you know, I think it's difficult. I think there's definitely part of it that goes on a head coach, obviously. And especially someone who comes from a collegiate background, like working with young players is Billy Donovan's bag. That's where he's comfortable. But I think it is difficult. And he's talked about this where, you know, you've got two young guys like Dalen and Julian where they don't fit in the rotation and you end up kind of in this no man's land. And then you look at a player like Patrick, and I think there's a lot of questions of why some of the things that they've been trying to get him to do haven't been taking. So I think part of it goes on Billy. I think part of it goes on, again, like I said, just selecting players that actually fit into the vision of your team and having a clear sense of, like, this is why we are choosing these players and where we want to move with them. And so part of that comes down to front office, and then part of it comes down to not just the head coach, but having a player development staff behind the scenes that is making these guys feel like they know the path that they're on and they're following it, and it makes sense and they're making gains, even if they're not getting on the court like immediately.
So I'm still waiting for a good reason to believe that any kind of rebuild that starts with growing your own talent can be accomplished by this team president, this general manager, and this coach and or coaching staff, however you want to look at it. I don't see I was looking for hope, Julia. Find some hope for me. Help me here.
No, it's one of those things that has to be, I think it's something that they have to prove, because it's something they haven't done yet, at least here. And I think that, again, these are executives and coaches who have maybe been successful with this elsewhere, but here in Chicago, there's just not, I think Coby White is the best example of them digging in on a young player and being able to build him and grow him, but you're still putting him in a position where he's not able to do the stuff that he does best, even though he is a much improved player now than he was a couple seasons ago. So I think maybe looking at Coby as an example of how they can develop those young guys. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of questions surrounding this front office that we just do not have proven answers to. So I think there's going to be a lot of what are you doing and why are you doing it questions kind of following the rest of the season.
I want to get back to what you had said. Part of grooming young players is some of them, one of them usually gets groomed to be your best player, your leader, something like that. If you're lucky, you know it early on and you go from there. If you're talking about the three biggest names, it's not even a big three. I mean, because they all choked down the stretch against Miami last year in the play-in game, and nobody made a basket when they should have. And you said they're rather quiet, doing much more by example than by voice or vocal level. So not developing players means you're not developing any kind of leaders, and the guys who are there now are looking at these kind of quiet leaders. I mean, they're modeling or imaging guys who maybe don't say much or maybe aren't approaching it in a strong leadership manner. Can I draw that conclusion?
I would not say that's entirely true with this group, just because Coby White talks. Like, he has become that vocal leader. He will tell you himself that man is never quiet. And they do have those vocal leaders. They're just coming from secondary roles. It's, you know, Alex Caruso is very vocal and a very strong leader in that locker room on the sideline. If we get seated close enough to the court, I can hear them throughout the entire game. So they do have it. It's just, it's not coming from your three main guys. And don't get me wrong, like DeMar, Zach, Vooch, they'll stand up and talk at times, but that's just not, they're not that like guy that's always going to be in your ear. You know, that's why you have guys like Patrick Beverley and Torrey Craig coming in and saying that this is the quietest team they've ever been on. It's mainly because those main three guys are not doing that day in and day out. But there are still areas, again, like I said, Kobe has become a very vocal person. There are areas where they're learning it. It's just not coming from that central trio.
And yet, Alex Caruso, being vocal, should be given more respect. He's their best player. He plays 94 feet. He plays both ends of the court. He is that guy. He is the guy who you want to emulate. And whatever he says should be taken far more seriously than whatever the guys who have been here longer have to say, because he's your best player. And I've always believed your best player has to be your best leader. Your best leader has to be your best player. And is there a reason that Caruso doesn't, maybe it's the media's fault, maybe it's our fault for focusing too much on the other three guys? I just wonder why it's not taken, why it isn't as loud about Alex Caruso as it is about the other guys.
I mean, I think we've seen a growing noise around Alex's presence on the team, especially this season. I mean, again, he's the only guy that's shooting at or above his averages, I believe, on the main rotation. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, playing out of his mind on defense. I think in the past, the problem has been, like, Alex has really struggled to stay healthy. And so I think it's hard to consistently be talking about someone who, that first season, he missed half of the season with a variety of injuries. So if he can stay available, yeah, he's going to be that main guy. And you see that even in some of this trade conversation of people being like, that might be one of your best trade assets, because Alex Caruso is, you know, he's proven that he's a winner, and he keeps building on the things that he can do with his shooting where it's at right now. I mean, it's pretty impressive how well-rounded his game has become, even just in the time that he's been in Chicago. And I think that's just coming because he's getting more minutes. And if he can stay on the court, I mean, that's going to be consistent. And I think that'll become louder the longer the season goes on and the more the other teams are looking at him and being like, how do we get that guy over here? You know what I mean?
I would think every team would want that guy, that dogged defensive guy. And that if your team president making the trade has his wits about him, you say, well, you can have Alex Caruso, but you got to take Zach's contract with you. That's the way I'd work it. That's just me.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how they package it, because there are, it depends on how much the front office, if it does come to that, is committed to a full rebuild, or if they want to keep a couple key pieces and then move from there. But there are a lot of, like, very attractive assets on this team. It's just a matter of how much do you want to break it down? Do you have guys that you feel like can be built around or are worth keeping here? But Caruso is the one, like you said, you look at that and it's like, unless you have, you know, a Jrue Holiday or someone like that on your team, just defensively, it's a no-brainer that I think anyone who's trying to compete for anything in the postseason would want something like that on their roster.
I want Jrue Holiday on my team because he posted one of the greatest tweets I'd ever seen. After Milwaukee won the title, he's holding the trophy and the verbiage around it was, I just got an A on a group project.
That's amazing.
It's wonderful.
That's amazing.
It's wonderful. Julia, thanks for your time. Good luck surviving all this. I don't know if there's an inoculation or a vaccination for this, but best of luck.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. That's Julia Poe of the Tribune. We're talking Bulls here. Wow. What kind of sledding is that? That's just somebody's got, they all got to go. Oh, and then the guy who put this together and the guy who made Lonzo Ball, Michael Jordan, and as a texter reminded me when I was banging on AK an hour ago, yeah, the Bulls, he tampered with Lonzo Ball, and the Bulls lost a draft pick because of it. Forgot about that. Thank you, texter. You weren't here last week, Tyler, were you? I did not realize I gave a homework assignment. Somebody, a 229 texter, said, here, and he listed off a bunch of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons songs, all hits. We were talking about Jersey Boys because the Giants quarterback was a Jersey boy named Tommy DeVito, who is one of the Jersey Boys. Really, in real life, he was one of the Jersey Boys, not the guy who's quarterbacking the Giants, nor should this guy be quarterbacking the Giants anymore, it appears. But I don't know what homework assignment I gave, but thank you for all of the, I could just read the songs, you know, Ragdoll And it was wonderful. Oh, what a night. Late December back in 63. Yeah. Okay. So I'll take a break. When we come back, The cultural zeitgeist portion of the show features a very Vegas story and something Denver Broncos players did to rally around Russell Wilson. That and more. Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Thank you for listening. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We have the cultural zeitgeist.
Right now, you're doing something for the culture.
Oh, baby.
Do it for the culture.
For the culture.
Do it. Do it. Do it a little slower. Like.
I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
That's the anthem. Holla. Get your damn hands up. I do this for my culture.
Joe, warn the Chiefs.
Owns. Owns.
Owns. Owns.
I don't know.
I think we've really penetrated the cultural zeitgeist.
Wow, big time. Big time open. Sean Sears, handiwork. Tyler Farengold flying this plane. Cultural zeitgeist. So this item in our cultural zeitgeist comes from Vegas. And it's a very Vegas story. Tyler, have you ever been to Vegas?
I have not.
Well, you should go. You should experience it. There are all manner of human beings there in all manner, all shape, all kinds of between health and luck, financial luck. And it's just, it's a place for characters. So these Sin City alerts tweeted out that casino security on the Las Vegas Strip responding to an unwanted subject in the sports book. A male approaching gamblers saying he's, quote, a prophet of God and wants to help them place bets. Now, you'll get that in Vegas. And typically, you'll get this mention, too. The first mention is from the Beat the Spread Twitter account. And it says, wait, wait, wait. Let's hear him out. That's perfect. That's a very Vegas thing. If there's any, wait, maybe he is a prophet of God and he's got some winners. So a couple weeks ago, I started naming greatest guitar riffs in music history. And somebody got pissed off about it. So I said, hey, let's keep it going. Let's do more. So now we are going to present the sixth greatest riff in rock history. Led Zeppelin, Black Dog. That was at the urging of some. I'm not the biggest Led Zeppelin fan, but Joey Ice, the former Frozen guy, my Trader Joe, said, look, you really have to, come on, understand, appreciate the musicianship, the greatness of what they did. Now, you know what? That is iconic. So that was Black Dog from Led Zeppelin, number six. Number five, for those of you who are late to class, Iron Man, Black Sabbath, Ozzy, right there. He's doing, giving you. Number four, Layla. Number three, Running Down a Dream by Petty. Number two, Satisfaction. Number one, greatest riff of all time, Smoke on the Water. You don't like my list? Okay. You don't have to live by my list. You're entitled to make your own list and play it yourself.
This list is not supposed to suck, correct?
Oh, I'm sure it sucks for a lot of people because they would have different songs or have this in a different order. So I'm sure it sucks. It follows, it plays, it stays on brand. It plays to the brand. And there we go. Next week, if nobody important listened, I'll be back with the seventh greatest riff. So the Denver Broncos players were on social media. And they have something in response to the way people treated Russell Wilson. Wilson started 1-5. The one win, you might recall, was against the Bears. That was it. Russell Wilson lost five of his first six games. He beat the Bears. But during that time, Russell Wilson had a 99% rating. He had 12 TDs, four interceptions, better than 65% completed passes. Not bad, really. Good in some ways, good in a lot, in several ways. Wilson caught a lot of grief. And a lot of grief. And a lot more grief. So in the last three games, all wins, by the way, by Wilson and the Broncos, he has a 115 rating. That'll be excellent for you. Six TDs and no picks. And better than 72% completion rating, completion percentage. So, better, terrific, and because of all the praise he's getting now, Bronco players found something on social media, and they sent it around. And what it was a Russell Wilson apology form. Several Bronco players sent this out, and it says, right at the top, Russell Wilson apology form to Russell Wilson. From you insert, you write down your name and the date, whatever date you're doing this, and they give you some boxes to check. So you, under reason for behavior, one box offers you, the media convinced me that Russ was the problem, not Hackett. Okay, maybe that's you. Or you could check the box that says, I didn't actually watch the games last season. Or you could check the box that says, I'm a Seahawks fan, I'm a Geno Smith supporter. Or you could check the box that says, I only look at advanced statistics and analytics. Love that. And the last box, I can't say the full word, but it says, I don't know jack about football. That'd be a good box to check. And in red, it says right underneath all the boxes, your apology to Russell Wilson should be louder than the disrespect you gave him this year. And then at the bottom, there's a place for you to sign it. I will hereby respect Russell Wilson, and I will not talk bleep about the future first ballot Hall of Famer. There is your Russell Wilson apology form sent out by or retweeted. Somebody, I don't know who originally created this, but several Bronco players found it, and they sent it out on social media.
Can I turn this back on the Bears, too? Remember you were talking about Justin Fields and his game-winning drives? That was a game where he could have had another chance to turn in a game-winning drive.
Uh-huh.
And what happened?
Not the right thing.
Nope.
Nothing good. No. He needs Roquan Smith to intercept a ball and run it back into field goal range, and then he could kneel down for a game-winning drive. Wow. I didn't have a chance to do this last week. There was lots of news last week with the Cubs and all kinds of stuff going on. So the first issue of Rolling Stone magazine was published in San Francisco, November 9th, 1967. That would have been last week. I would have brought it up last week. If there's no Rolling Stone, there's no gonzo journalism. There's no fear and loathing the way the legend wrote it. What I would contend is the greatest opening line in literature, Hunter S. Thompson, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. We were somewhere around Barstow on the edge of the desert when the drugs began to take hold. Perfect. Rolling Stone. In this week, we move along, 1986. One of the greatest sports movies ever came out. Hoosiers. Seen Hoosiers? Tyler, have you seen Hoosiers?
I have not.
We're doing this cultural zeitgeist, and you have a massive chasm in your cultural zeitgeist. You've not seen Hoosiers? You had better not ever come face-to-face with David Haw.
Good thing he doesn't know that, but you already know this, Rosie. I suck.
Wow. How do you not? Hoosiers is a wonderful movie. It's uplifting. Based on a true story, Little Mile and High was the real, and there's this little school that could. It's something you should see. You know what? The one thing, it used to happen naturally with score personnel around here is the sports movies, sports, that kind of cultural knowledge, they would naturally have seen it. You never saw Hoosiers.
I've never seen it.
My team is on the court. One of the all-time great lines. My team is on the court. He benched the best shooter for not making four passes. That's what he wanted. Four passes. Every four. Sit down, Raid. You're out. Guy fouls out. Raid's going to go. Where are you going? In the game. Because they only had six guys, and now one fouled out, and Raid's going back in. No. Sit down. And the referee comes over and says, come on, you need fifth guy. He goes, and Gene Hackman says, my team is on the court. Okay, there we go. Oh, man. Have you seen Slapshot?
I have not either.
Tyler, how did you get a job at this radio station? How did Spilkes and Ryan hire you?
Maybe they suck too. I have no idea.
Oh, my God.
Bull Durham. Sorry, Rosie.
Bull Durham? Seen that? Seen Bull Durham? Do you know what I'm talking about? Bull Durham's a movie.
I don't, unfortunately.
You don't know that it's a movie or it is? You know it's a movie and you haven't seen it.
No, I have not seen it.
It should be required. There should be. There. Did they teach you anything here? Did they teach you to watch like sports movies? That's kind of a language, and some would say it's a love language of sports talk radio. Speaking in, I know a bunch of hockey guys that there's a whole language of Slapshot traded back and forth. And that clip in the opening, in the cultural zeitgeist opening, is the call and response for almost every hockey player. Who owned the Chief? Owns. That's a call and response, at least one that we can play on or say on the radio and play on the radio. There are others we cannot. How about Major League? Have you seen Major League?
Yes, I have seen Major League.
Okay. That's good.
We're starting somewhere, I guess. You know this, Rosie. I suck.
I just wanted to... I was hoping for more. Okay. You know, in Michigan, you talk to Hub about it, and Michigan today, there was a player walking onto the field, Michigan player walking onto the field for warmups, wearing a free Harbaugh shirt. So there's your jailed coach. You know Dave Pasch? You know him. He's an announcer, right? You know Dave Pasch.
Yeah, I know Dave Pasch.
So a Twitter follower named Ron Whistler tweeted this last week. At Dave Pasch, you and Billis are such Duke homers on this Duke versus Arizona game. Laughing face and a teddy bear face and an arrow pointing down. Dave Pasch, one of the all-time great Twitter responses to this guy who said, you and Billis are such Duke homers on this Duke versus Arizona game. He simply tweeted, one, I live in Arizona. Two, I'm not calling this game. That is wonderful. There you go. Just spitting facts. So I know you don't watch sports movies, Ryan. Do you play video games?
Yeah, I play video games. Not a lot lately, but I do play video games.
Do you know there is such a thing as a classic Tetris World Championship?
I never knew there was such a thing.
Neither did I. Some guy from MIT won it, which kind of figures. Some guy from MIT won it. Put all the pieces in place. All the pieces fell into place as he captured the Tetris World title. Justin, nicknamed Fractal U, is his name, an MIT junior. He did this last month. He became the top classic Tetris player in the world by winning the 2023 Classic Tetris World Championships. I did not know there was video games have these championships. Are there other video games? Are you aware of any other video games that have this?
I know there's a Madden, like an all USA or something Madden tournament, but nothing is ever as popular as that. That's the first ever other video game that I've heard that there was like a tournament for.
Well, this guy is a computer science and engineering major from Dallas. He plans to double major in math with a minor in music technology. He finds time to play cello in MIT's video game orchestra. Do you know what a video game orchestra does? It's really simple.
They produce the music for the video games.
They play the music. They recreate them. They play video game music with an orchestra instruments. Okay. It's a wonderful world. We're going to take a break, and it's not such a wonderful world in the Wake and Bake Club. I'll come back with that before we get out of here today on Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
There's something important I was supposed to do today.
Dopest dope I've ever smoked. Hands down, dopest dope I've ever smoked.
Wake and Bake Club.
I love weed.
I smoke weed every second of every day.
Hey, I am your stoner.
Even Smokey the Bear is going, only you can... I knew this.
We're so high right now.
We're not low.
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E. Will you open up the door? Yeah, Dave.
Dave?
Right, man. Dave. Now, will you open up the door?
Dave's not here.
Oh.
Hey. Smoke weed every day.
I had the flu one time. Did a gummy bear. I was like... breakfast at Bernie's, you know, the dead guy.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go to a party, and I went to the party, and they sat me in a chair, and people sat beside me, took pictures, and I'm sitting there like, breakfast at Bernie's.
Smoke weed every day.
Yep. Wake and Bake Club's in session, and it's a calamitous event. A tweet came out a couple days ago from Snoop Dogg, legend, Hall of Famer. I'm giving up smoke.
Smoke weed every day.
And there's a picture of Snoop on this tweet. After much consideration and conversation with my family, I've decided to give up smoke. Please respect my privacy at this time. That is a calamity. The mentions you would expect. Someone said, today isn't April Fool's Day, Snoop, because that would be a good April Fool's Day, right?
Smoke weed every day.
And there's a video on the feed. No one dared reject a smoke from Snoop Dogg. And he's doing it. He's smoking a blunt. And he's elbowing the guy next to him. And the guy next to him takes it. And the guy next to him is a security guard in uniform. Well, sure. He's got a badge and everything. High times. High times, the long time standard bearer of all things pot and weed and others, said stoner of the century, Snoop Dogg, you'll always have a seat at the sesh, whether you're smoking or not, and will forever hold a place of honor on Mount Cushmore.
Smoke weed every day.
And then High Times ran four covers of Snoop being on the cover, armed each time. Somebody ran, you know that picture in Batman? Did you see Batman, The Dark Knight, right? The Joker at his back, and then there's just mountains and mountains and mountains of money and cash. And somebody tweeted out that picture and said, Snoop Dogg, looking at how much money he saved from this decision.
Smoke weed every day.
One of the things he did was he saved money on a blunt roller. He paid someone to roll like 150 blunts a day for him. Wow, that's a hell of a job. I've not seen an update. We will keep you posted on the Wake and Bake Club. I'm just telling you, maybe this is all an act to come. He's coming out with edibles and whatever. I don't know. But maybe it's all a publicity stunt. And yes, 815 Texter, our new producer sounds just like Campy. That's true.
That's not the first time I've heard that before.
847 Texter, who's the drunk guy hosting right now? I don't want to make fun in case he's had a stroke or a brain tumor, but he sounds sloshed. Okay, well, I might as well get to it. Now I know what to do this afternoon. Thanks, Tyler. Nobody important listened. We'll be back next week or the week after or something like that, for sure on Thanksgiving. Me and Trash Panda, 7 in the morning. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
It.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Need the score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
There's something important I was supposed to do today.
Dopest dope I've ever smoked. Hands down, dopest dope I've ever smoked.
Wake and Bake Club.
I love weed.
I smoke weed every second of every day.
Hey, I am your stoner.
Even Smokey the Bear is going, only you can. I knew this.
We're so high right now.
We're not low.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E. Will you open up the door? Yeah, Dave.
Dave?
Right, man, Dave. Now, will you open up the door?
Dave's not here.
Oh. Hey. Smoke weed every day.
I had the flu one time. Did a gummy bear. I was like breakfast at Bernie's, you know, the dead guy.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go to a party, and I went to the party, and they sat me in a chair, and people got sat beside me, took pictures, and I'm sitting there like breakfast at Bernie's.
Smoke weed every day.
Yep. Wake and Bake Club's in session, and it's a calamitous event. A tweet came out a couple days ago from Snoop Dogg, legend, Hall of Famer. I'm giving up smoke.
Smoke weed every day.
And there's a picture of Snoop on this tweet. After much consideration and conversation with my family, I've decided to give up smoke. Please respect my privacy at this time. That is a calamity. The mentions you would expect. Someone said today isn't April Fool's Day, Snoop, because that would be a good April Fool's Day, right?
Smoke weed every day.
And there's a video on the feed. No one dared reject a smoke from Snoop Dogg. And he's doing it. He's smoking a blunt. And he's elbowing the guy next to him. And the guy next to him takes it, and the guy next to him is a security guard in uniform. Well, sure. He's got a badge and everything. High times. High times. The longtime standard bearer of all things pot and weed and others said, stoner of the century, Snoop Dogg, you'll always have a seat at the sesh, whether you're smoking or not, and will forever hold a place of honor on Mount Cushmore.
Smoke weed every day.
And then High Times ran four covers of Snoop being on the cover, armed each time. Somebody ran, you know that picture in Batman? Did you see Batman, The Dark Knight, right? The Joker at his back, and then there's just mountains and mountains and mountains of money and cash. And somebody tweeted out that picture and said, Snoop Dogg, looking at how much money he saved from this decision.
Smoke weed every day.
One of the things he did was he saved money on a blunt roller. He paid someone to roll like 150 blunts a day for him. Wow, that's a hell of a job. I've not seen an update. We will keep you posted on the Wake and Bake Club. I'm just telling you. Maybe this is all an act to come. He's coming out with edibles and whatever. I don't know. But maybe it's all a publicity stunt. And yes, 815 Texter, our new producer sounds just like Campy. That's true.
That's not the first time I've heard that before.
847 Texter, who's the drunk guy hosting right now? I don't want to make fun in case he's had a stroke or a brain tumor, but he sounds sloshed. Okay, well, I might as well get to it. Now I know what to do this afternoon. Thanks, Tyler. Nobody important listened. We'll be back next week or the week after or something like that, for sure on Thanksgiving. Me and Trash Panda, 7 in the morning. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So, kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
it.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.